Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
One down, six to go, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England get a win and the Dutch did too. It's Monday, 14th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Easy.
I was taking the bass part of that.
Good.
I appreciate that.
I was taking the lead singer part of that.
Come on! We're up and running, Jim!
We are.
Hey!
Take that.
Sterling 57.
Name your favourite boy band as well.
Oh, Let Loose.
Which England also did in a way.
Yes. Well, the shackles came off slightly.
Yeah.
Once they got some reinforcements.
Oh, I tell you, England, their first ever win in an opening game at the Euros.
Yeah. Ever.
Can't take that away. When somebody said that stat, I was rifling through my memories. I was like, are you sure about
have that, Modric? Yeah. Last time he was powered by Badil and Skinner.
Yeah.
It only goes so far, doesn't it, though,
Luca? It does. Yes. He's been quite big on that this week. And he's like, you know,
you know, they were a bit affronted by English arrogance. There was
you're not the first
one. There was a lot written about how they actually know that Three Lions was kind of a little bit ironic last time, but they used that anyway. And I am just absolutely delighted to have put Croatia away. We have suffered at the feet of Modric many, many times. And you know what, Luca? You've been saying we're a bit arrogant. If that game had taken place later in the day, we'd have done you two or three.
Your name is Luca. You live in the bottom placing.
Loser Modric. Back in your box.
Back in your box.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Who needs Hendo?
Yeah, that's true. You forget, though, we did beat them in the UEFA Nations League.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. AKA the
I
big one.
I wasn't forgetting that.
We won when it mattered.
Yeah.
It does feel good. It does feel good.
Especially because they knocked us out of Euro 2008 before it had even started.
One of the youngest teams of the tournament. Yes, we will have that 3 points. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we'll pinch that and we'll take it all the way to the bank. Oh, my goodness, gentlemen. It was nice. Do you know what? It was a bit strange with the lack of fans. Don't get me wrong, I am very much enjoying this tournament. I'm sure we all have. More than ever, I think in the Premier League, we just got into that routine. Yeah. It was a regrettable routine, of course. And then when the fans sort of started coming back, and it was like, oh my goodness, it's just so nice to have people there in the FA Cup final and whatnot was good to see. Mm. Which actually, this tournament, I have felt that even with, say, 16,000 or whatever, how many fans has been there, like they've been missed.
Yeah.
And it really is quite...
They sound loud for the amount of people they are, but it's obviously still nowhere near a full stadium. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Is that matched with the nature of the tournament, with it being played all around the place? Mm. One or two of the games I felt like it is like a sort of a glorified qualifier in a sense.
Yeah.
If you're qualifying for the next round. I don't mean to sort of put a dampener on it. Or as I say, I've very much enjoyed it and it's been great so far and it will continue to be, I'm sure. But it was weird seeing England playing in a sort of a sparsely filled stadium for a game like this when you think the tournament comes around and you're expecting, you know. But there we are, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, there are games where you're looking at it and you're not immediately sure where it is. I think it should say just on the screen where the stadium is. Yeah. I like the Eurovision feel.
Yeah,
I
do
too. Everywhere, but there are flaws to it.
I liked when the goal was scored and Brassel pointed out on WhatsApp there was a couple of supporters that sort of jumped on the kind of cordoned off area that was like, you know, when they put like vinyl on top of the chairs to block those bits out. It kind of just ended up in like a sea of blue vinyl going, I don't know where I am now.
I thought
he would have had a lovely afternoon.
Oh, everyone looked very I don't know what it is about England crowds, but every time the camera goes to the England crowd, I just think they're all. They don't
rather
look
drunk.
Good. They don't look good.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out with any of you.
Maybe the steward should have big tanks of sunblock.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
going
around insisting.
Yeah. I think England fans...
Like basting.
I think England fans...
It seemed particularly white, particularly male this time round. I don't know what it is. It was just very... The crowd was just one man in the same CNA jorts. It was just constant that.
Our very own Kate Mason was there.
That is true, yeah. And you know, Kate, come on, Ericsson, no doubt, but Kate had obviously a very emotional weekend and she was right next to the supporter that plunged off one of the tiers.
Yeah.
I hope he recovers fully, but it just sounded like she said it was very strange kind of watching England play and obviously what happened in the match next to this guy who was getting some medical attention. So,
yeah, it was very early on as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Our wishes go to him.
Absolutely right. Awful stuff. But yes, with regards to the football, though, I mean, it was the team selection raised a few eyebrows.
Yeah, Gary Neville, not unreasonably as well.
Not unreasonably, yeah. But Gary Neville said, I don't think one person in the 65 million population would pick that team today. But obviously one of the 65 million did. Also, he's made another error there because he's put the population of the whole of the United Kingdom, not England there, which is
Gary.
A bit of an oversight. We don't expect that from Gary Neville. It is an early error from Neville in the tournament. We'll see how he gets on
he's
for the rest
of
the
He's playing away. He's not usually on the is it ITV or the ITV couches.
Yeah, he's not usually there
he's
in that London.
There.
that's probably it.
No, actually, that's not true because Sky Sports Studios are.
Yeah,
but what was quite nice, though, is that Jesse Lingard was pictured in a pub with a Declan Rice shirt on.
And a parrot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that... I love that.
I think that shows the measure of the man.
Yeah, I think it's lovely.
Because he could be really... And of course he would have been disappointed not to be in the squad, but no, get behind the boys. Adam Lallana was apparently in the stadium.
All right.
Not that he was close to selection, but still.
No. I love that, though.
Rooney was there with his family, wasn't he?
Yeah. Big Wazza.
Wazor.
They're all there.
Get Kate Mason, all, as we've already touched
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, yeah.
All of the royalty.
All of England's finest
were there. Galvin Phillips raised...
Galvin Phillips.
Galvin.
The galvanising Galvin Phillips.
Well, on Twitter, people were a little bit upset, funnily enough. I'll just leave that there. But no, people were sort of a bit disappointed that he was playing that sort of defensive shield a bit.
Yeah.
Again, they forget that, you know, with Brozovic, Modric and Kovacic, it is quite a handy midfield. Mm. Also, a very hot day. Yeah. And I know people say, oh, but it's the same condition for both teams, blah, blah, blah. It's still a very hot day. I mean, at half time, I actually was in London watching the game. I just sort of thought, how hot is it? Because I was in inside. Mm. I'd go outside and just stood in the sun for 5 minutes, pouring with sweat. And I just like, the last thing I want to do is move, let alone run around.
And you, that was reflected in the rhythms of the game.
It was. It absolutely was. Mm. So you have that. And I don't think England would play again at 2 o'clock. For the rest of the tour. I don't think anybody will after this first round of games. I think they then move to sort of five and eight, I believe so. So you have all this sort of stuff. Trippier at left back was questionable as well. What did you make of the selection, Jim? Were you disappointed?
I was disappointed might be kind of understating it a little bit much. Yeah, I think underwhelmed is a bit more like it. I think obviously he's justified it with this selection. I was a little bit worried about Sterling's form. He obviously, I think it's important to remember that they don't necessarily read the press. They know better than all of us do, however much we might think we know it. But I think the more and more you meet people in football, you understand that it is a bubble that is completely unaffected by what the kind of like fan sphere thinks about it. Mm. And obviously Raheem Sterling is an incredible player that has won the Premier League 3 times, plays for the champions. Yeah, he's had a bit of a underwhelming run at club level, but he's an exceptional player and Gareth Southgate knows him and trusts him. So
interesting comments when he said there are various reasons for that at Manchester City. And he thought, oh, that's...
Yeah, no, that stood out to me as well. But yeah. I mean, that might just be something that accidentally sounds a bit juicy when it's not. But I was surprised to not have a natural left footer there. But he tried Trippier at left back against Austria, and it worked fairly well. So it might be the case that he tried a system, it worked. He trusts it. It was a
message that said, We don't need anybody overlapping. That's not the system we're playing at the moment. And Trippier's never going to give you that at his age.
I think as well, I suspect he'll rotate quite a lot in the groups in particular. Because obviously the five subs is a really interesting thing for every manager. Mm. And I wonder if Trippier starting at left back in this game might not necessarily mean he'll start that in every game. I did find it strange that Chilwell and Sancho were both left out of the squad and there were two goalkeepers, despite...
You don't know because apparently Sancho has had a little bit of an illness or something.
Yeah, I remember hearing rumour of that a little while ago, but maybe both of them have something that's keeping them out that we don't know about. And, Gareth Southgate doesn't have to tell everyone, oh, he's got a little bit of a knock to the ankle, because then it might become a stupid story. And there's always something.
And they are human beings. There's personal, how you're feeling personally, whatever it is. I'm not suggesting, we don't know anything. There's a myriad of reasons. You have to make a decision somewhere. You would hope that the two of them would be included at least on the bench going forward in the tournament. Mm. I suggested on Twitter that perhaps he's chosen Trippier because Trippier's probably defensively England's best fullback, and maybe he's put him in there next to Mings because he quite likes Mings. He's a left-footed centre-half. Mm. I know a few of us have said before, Mings is... There's a little bit of a rick in there, although he looked pretty assured, didn't have that much to do, but what he did do was good. And so I suggested that maybe Trippier's in there to kind of add a little bit more defensive. He got a mixed response, I'll be honest. I understand that with a right-footed left back, you're going to have that and vice versa. Although the Italian played on the left with the right-footed Italian, he had a good game. So it's not always the case. But I think you're right, Jim.
Is that what you wished you said at the time?
Yes. It worked for Italy. It can work for us, you knobs. To be honest with you, yeah, that's probably what I should have said.
But it's about tournament experience and, being in the England setup for quite a while. Look at that 19-year-old Cavardiol, who obviously cleared Kane's almost certain goal at the death, which is amazing. But I think he was pulled out all over the place. And that for me was just, he'd only broken through into the team quite recently. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the experience of big tournaments. And that was the difference between the two sides frequently, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think, have we all got ourselves
into this idea that at some point England are going to play with a back five when that actually might not be the case.
Yeah, I think people have suggested that if they come against better opposition, then that may well happen. I don't know. I
would have thought Croatia would have fallen into that category personally. So I wonder if
they were a poor side yesterday.
Yeah,
they were really bad.
But I don't think Croatia are as good as they were 3 years ago.
Oh, of course not. But they're still the toughest team in the group.
I think, again, the first game, actually, your number one priority is don't lose the game. Mm. And people say, it's very negative. England, let's not get carried away. You know, England's midfield has been...
They've never won at this position in the tournament.
They've never done that. They're playing against a side they're very wary of. And it's kind of like, get the job done. And they didn't
get anything in the first 20 minutes where they just came out... The adrenaline
Phone hit the post.
And, but they didn't get anything. I think lesser England teams would have lost their heads a little bit after that position, but they came back in ridiculous heat. There was a lot of positives to take from that match.
Well, and Calvin Phillips was one of them.
Oh, mate. God.
Yeah, man of the match.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
I mean, his assist for the goal was delightful. But
his engine in that heat. Yes.
Yeah, but it was great. But I forget who it was. It might have been Jonathan Liu said in his piece that what was nice about Calvin Phillips is that he really likes playing in tight spaces. In fact, he almost seems to relish it.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like winning the little itsy-bitsy stuff, winning the ball, giving it quickly and so on. Because most midfielders like a bit of time and space, understandably. That's what football's about, trying to find the space. Whereas Calvin Phillips like, no, where's the fight? Yeah. Where's the narrow bits? That's where I want to be.
Let's play in the net.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, when the time came, when he sort of strode into the space and laid it on for Sterling, about bloody time, according to Raheem Sterling. Did you see that? He said, where's the quote here? When we finished celebrating, Raheem said, it's the first time I've found him with a pass since I've been coming to England.
Cheeky.
All right, cheers, mate.
No, but the fact that he feels comfortable saying that to the press shows you kind of how tight-knit this squad has become.
Well, Phillips himself said, "I love playing with Declan. It's an honour playing with Declan.
It's great, isn't it? Even Jesse Lingard feels like he can just sit in the pub in a Declan Rice shirt with a parrot on his shoulder, smiling away.
Yeah.
It's just great. I'm enjoying it so much.
Raheem Sterling was asked after the game, does this justify your selection?
Oh, yeah. And he asked the question back to himself, didn't he, with real disdain.
It's a great story, though, considering he was, you know, he was... brought up 523 yards from the spot where he scored the goal.
That is fantastic, isn't it? I love that we know that.
Yeah, why is that so specific, but then brought up around the... Like, it's too vague on one end of that particular equation for me.
I'd like to question
is that to his bed?
Exactly. Like, that's what I want.
I would like to question his tattoo, because he's got a tattoo of little Raheem standing in front of when we're staying with the Wembley Arch. And I thought, would it have been the Twin Towers?
I'm not sure.
Or maybe, to be honest with you, perhaps more accurately, it would have been a demolished stadium. So he had to make the choice. And I think,
Marcus, who's more likely to know?
Well, I mean, he didn't know whether he
justified your tattoo.
Yeah, exactly. That's the question. He didn't know whether he had justified his selection or not by scoring the only goal of the game.
Talking about punditry, Jack Wilshere on Five Live was the most dour interviewee I have ever heard. Yeah. At one point, the only interesting thing that happened during his little chat was that his dog was barking in the background. And then it goes on to Tyrone Mings talking about how he'd performed that day. And I think generationally, I'm loving the fact that these I know Tyrone Mings, what are you, 20, 26, 27, possibly older. I like that generationally, we now have footballers who feel confident talking to people about football matches.
Yes, yeah.
Jack was just such a fucking dour joker.
Was he behind the bins? Was he hiding behind the bins?
It sounded a bit
like that, didn't it? Jack, you can come out.
Giving nothing.
Yeah.
Just quickly on Sterling as well. One of the things I think is really interesting with him is that one of the things about this England team in general that I really love is that they don't have the baggage that a lot of previous England teams have had, because they've come off the back of a successful World Cup and there's a lot of positivity around them. It feels like there are so many people that are determined to throw baggage at Raheem Sterling and it's not working and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, when it was said, you haven't scored in sort of three major tournaments and all this kind of stuff. Now, Southgate himself did say, you know, he sort of broke his duct or whatever. But I was a bit like, I just didn't really think.
It's not, yeah.
Along those lines. And I think that's what you're saying there, Jim, is that's what it feels like a clean slate after Russia, which is important.
I think the...
Because Sterling and a number of the players played against Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see Sterling playing his finishing isn't always great.
Yeah, he's not the most clinical.
And you know, we talk about like kind of Pep Guardiola and Aguero, and you sort of, what characterises Manchester City's matches in the past few seasons. It's not been Aguero finishing. It has been Sterling at the back post, just running in and tapping in and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so if you can bring his slightly better finishing into the England setup, I think, you know, he's still bloody...
Well, and also, as we said, Kane operates well when he has someone running on ahead of him. And people say, oh, no, but we want Harry Kane. Well, you want Harry Kane to play like Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that is his tactic. That's a fair opinion. But you have Harry Kane, who an incredible amount of goals and assists. He is brilliant at that. Why not utilise that?
Yeah.
And actually, therefore, I wasn't surprised Sterling started. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play, then Rashford plays. Having that runner ahead. And then you have on the left side or the right side, depending on which, you have probably Foden. And if not Foden, then Grealish can come in. And I understand people still chanting for Grealish and all this kind of stuff. He is a very exciting player. But this is...
I would have put him on for Kane yesterday, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, Kane very little
they
chin.
Didn't need Grealish, and I think...
But it wasn't his game. But it wasn't his game, and I think England fans can sometimes... Oh, well, we want to win with this swashbuckling style, and you think, but whenever have England done that? I don't understand. They act as if every tournament in the last 20 years has been... We've been like Brazil 1970.
No, but isn't it more the idea that we see we have the personnel to perhaps play like that? Okay, so let's see what it's like.
Well, I get the fact that people want to enjoy it, and they think, I don't want this flat performances. We saw this with old, you know, my man Svenis, when he was in charge. England, you know, I remember the opening game against, I think it was Paraguay in was it 06 World Cup. And
Let's not think about that.
But England win 1-0 and it's a drab affair. And you think, don't worry, we've won 1-0 and you kind of talk it up and it's okay, it's a good start. And then the next game's drab and it's drab and it's drab. And then we go out on penalties or something. And you go, well, I didn't enjoy that for a moment. And I think people are maybe understandably worried about that, and you think, no, but let's just, you know, have a go off the lead and so on. However, Neville himself said, actually, our greatest asset is Southgate. Perhaps you can trust him. He is aware that no, let's not just kind of go, let's just have a good time
and just tump them.
Let's actually sort of try and really, really have a go at going deep in a tournament, as he already has done. And in doing that, you have to just nice and easy. You know, nice and what?
Exactly. I have to say, when Harry Kane collided with a post, this is obviously bruised ribs from the canal flashback. But I'm like, tournament over. This is bad. He's going to bruise a rib. You can't do anything with bruised ribs. No.
Oh dear. Well, I tell you, we should mention Jude Bellingham came on, broke Michael Owen's record, and becoming the youngest ever player to feature at a major tournament. Get a load of that.
He was only on for 8 minutes. He did a lot as well.
Yeah, love that. I love that. Also love the fact that apparently at Wembley Park Tube Station, which is the one next to Wembley, funnily enough, John Motson was doing the tube announcements.
I like it.
Assuming that was pre-recorded. He doesn't have Mossy in the office just yet. 2 minutes delay.
He just loves it. He just loves announcing. He'll announce anything.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So more of that, Motti. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of more games at Wembley in the group stages for England, at least. So there we are. So look, good start. Get the job done.
Yeah.
Clean sheet. Lovely old job. Sets us up nicely. If you're a bit disappointed, don't be. That's a good, solid start.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm delighted with that. I think you forget what a dagger to the heart conceding a goal is in a tournament.
Yeah.
Because there's so much pressure. You know, you, if it all goes badly, there's not another one for 2 years and you're not even guaranteed to be there. And
exactly.
I'm really glad that we avoided that pain, that sense of panic that like, oh, what if it all goes wrong?
This
is a perfect start.
Everyone Indeed, just chill well.
Yeah, absolutely right. And England didn't look like conceding, which was good. Excellent stuff. And before we get to a break, we love England, obviously. Great win, blah, blah, blah. But it genuinely pales into insignificance when you think about what happened with Christian Eriksen. And it has been confirmed that he suffered a cardiac arrest when he collapsed in the game against Finland, of course. But some of you will have seen the statement via his agent that Eriksen says, "Thank you, I won't give up, I feel better now, but I want to understand what's happened. I want to say thank you for all you did for me." He's recovering in hospital, said to be in a good mood, even made a little joke apparently and said, you know, "I think some of you are feeling worse than I am," sort of thing. So very good news after an incredibly emotional day for everybody on the Saturday. So good. Hopefully he will continue to recover well in hospital. There we are. All right, let's have a quick break, everybody.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
There he is, everybody. Nice. And he is right once again. You are listening to the Football Ramble. Now it's time for Betway's Four to score. Across the Euros this summer, there is £250,000 up for grabs across five rounds of four to score, and it's completely free to play. Just pick the first goal scorer in each of Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win £50,000 each round. Make sure your submissions are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Today, it's round one. Game one was Wales versus Switzerland. That was last Saturday. I picked Gareth Bale. The result was Mbolo, of course, got that one wrong. Game two, Belgium versus Russia on the Saturday. Andy picked Romelu Lukaku. That was an easy one. He got it right. Game three, England versus Croatia, obviously yesterday on the Sunday. Pete, you picked Marcus Rashford. It was Raheem Sterling, of course.
It was actually my dog that picked it, so, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely not
your fault. Dog advised.
And game four, Netherlands versus Ukraine. Luke picked Roman Yaremchuk, and the result was Jorginho Wijnaldum last night's
good
game,
finish.
Of course. So it was, yeah. So one out of four.
It ain't bad.
I would say
not a bad start.
I would say we're off the mark, but that's not how it works.
Room for improvement.
Exactly, yes, of course. Make sure your selections, as I say, are submitted before the first game. For the details apply, you've got to be over 18 to get involved, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. We'll be back for the second round of four to score later this week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails. Oh, Matty Baker, I do love you.
got an email from... I'm going to jump in. James DeCotti. Hi, all. Just thought it was worth noting that England win their first ever opening Euros game and the England band are absent. Coincident? Sorry. I mixed that up, didn't I? The England band were absent. England have won. Coincidence? I think not.
Oh.
How does it work? Could one of the England band get tickets, and then he could just do a little bit of it, like his bit? Like, yeah, he could have the big drum. Are the drums COVID?
Instruments, yeah, going in?
Right. Oh, yeah, because you wouldn't be able to go with the... Yeah. Yes, of course. Right. Yeah.
Let's hope they're never allowed back.
True. We had a boogie.
I hate them.
We had a boogie to the England band, Jim. You were there in Kiev when England won.
You know? I stand by my feelings.
Do you regret that? Do you regret your actions in Kiev?
I can't remember them, yeah. So I don't know.
You should have said which ones.
Jim, you've got to... Clearly he remembers something I don't.
Anyway, well, we appreciate that very much. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now, gentlemen, perhaps the game of the tournament was the Netherlands beating Ukraine 3-2. The first ever game in the history of the Euros to see 5 goals in the second half when it was 0-0 at halftime. There's a stat attack. Jim, the kits, the orange on the grass, it just pops, doesn't it, baby?
It does pop.
The blue as well was a nice contrast. It was a great kit clash because, as we say, you want the kits to clash.
A lot of yellow in the crowd as well, so you had that going on.
And also to the background sounds. Of Clive Tilsley and Ali McCoy. Yeah. What an evening.
Lovely to hear Clive.
Nathan Ake as well. Because he's got the dreadlocks of Rude Hullet, and he's kind of got similar eyes as well.
Yeah.
That for an old man like me, that ticks a lot of boxes. I'm like, oh, this is lovely.
Set up the third goal as
Very
well.
Comforting.
Was Andrei Shevchenko wearing a BT-branded tie?
I don't what you mean.
I don't know.
I don't think he was, but it was...
It was like he'd lost his luggage and like someone in the hotel had a corporate freebie they could lend him.
Still looks quite young. Andre. Mm. Get him on for the second half next time.
It's interesting, isn't it? Your boss is the all-time top scorer for your country. He's got to be a bit of a...
It's intimidating. Well, in the same way, I love the fact with Italy, Mancini, Vialli on the bench and Lombardo.
Yeah.
The Sampdoria connection in the early 90s. Like, they were the only Sampdoria side ever to win Serie A.
Yeah.
Reached the European Cup final. Like, it's wonderful. I was thinking, is there an English equivalent of that? And then I don't know. And then I was like, would it be like Lampard managing England with John Terry and Ashley Cole? And I thought, let's just enjoy what we've got now.
It's probably what put off Depay in the first sort of couple of minutes. That run that he did, he nutmegged one of the players. Oh man, that deserved a goal.
Grealish-esque calves.
Grealish. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
a lot of it about.
It was Denzel Dumfries. Is a name we all know and love now.
Yeah,
I'm glad he got that winner because he did miss a sitter, didn't he?
He did.
Header.
Yeah.
It was nowhere near. I don't know.
No, it was. I mean, he's a wing back though, isn't he?
So he can't head the ball.
Yeah. Didn't you get the memo?
He's got no sense of direction.
Yeah. No, you're right. What am I talking about? Yeah, he should have scored twice. Right.
The mug. Yeah, indeed. Apparently, a plane was circling over the Netherlands training camp recently with the words, "Frank, just play 4-3-3. Do you know what? I'm really enjoying this because...
You can't bow to a plane, can you?
Well, if not necessarily, Jim, but if the plane's got a point, because often planes...
I've changed, Diane.
Yeah, often planes flying banners have been quite crap.
Yeah,
you know,
to understate it
exactly.
Somewhat.
Whereas now they're offering tactical advice, which I think is a lovely change of direction for the plane banner community.
Fill the box with attack-minded players.
attack!
I'd love one day to just say,
that would be very, very good. But it was a really good game. This one, it was very, very entertaining. I think we could all agree. And it was a funny one because. The Dutch, you know, you score three goals, and the way they scored when they went 2-0 up, they looked in control and they looked like they were going to create more and go on. And then Yarmolenko thought, you know what, I might just curl one into the top corner.
That was lovely. Just enough lift to take it over the keeper. It was beautiful.
Yeah, goal of the tournament so far. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, or Austria's first one. We'll come on to that.
Yeah, that was lovely as well.
The Dutch are interesting. De Jong was on ITV punditry.
What a cool man.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. Hollywood beckons for a man. If you look like that, especially with the blazer and a t-shirt combo, which you wouldn't say the same about, what's his name, the Croatia manager. he looked fantastic. But he was in between Roy Keane and Gary Neville. Tough first gig. He loved it though, didn't he? Because apparently Roy Keane was absolutely hammering the way the Dutch were playing in the second half, and Nigel Jong went, "Oh, I'd love to come back, especially if it's the same setup." Do you know what I mean?
Thought
you were a fighter on the pitch, and you're a fighter as a pundit. Absolutely love it. But there were interesting comments from some of those players. I mean, De Jong was obviously made up. You know, you win your first game, and after being pegged back 2-0 down, you win 3-2. You're quite relieved. But, you know, they did look a bit scatty, the Dutch, Jim. You know, the formation and so on. I know that's a good win, bit of home advantage and so on, but slight cause for concern. I mean, Neville just went, they're not going to go far in this tournament.
I think he might be right. I mean, I think they'll probably win their group. They've got enough there to do that. I think the quality of this game was a lot higher than the Austria-North Macedonia one, which we'll come on to. And that was, I guess, similar games in terms of being fairly open. But I think... you know, when they let that lead slip, when the moment they come up against someone who's a bit cannier, mm-hmm. who can shut them out, yeah. they'll struggle. I think they might fall apart quite badly if they get a real test, actually.
Yeah, I think you might be right there. I think, because if you look at the two goals Ukraine conceded, the first one, it's a bit sloppy and it wasn't great. You know, it's a poor one to concede. And the second one, definitely.
Yeah.
I understand there was maybe a foul in the build-up. VAR didn't give it. Although I think we quite enjoyed the lack of VAR so far.
Yeah, it's
so
been
far.
Good, hasn't it? It's been implemented well.
Wales have certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Offside! Yeah. Yeah. Can we not have Robbie Savage on the COCOMs again this tournament?
Yeah,
McCoist was just the tonic.
I don't have any say in that, Marcus.
McCoist was just the tonic, though, for the yeah. next day, you know.
I think for Welsh fans, though, when he does the Wales games...
Some will enjoy
they,
it.
Well, I think they sort of regard him, he's an idiot, but he's our idiot. Kind
yeah,
of thing,
fair enough. It,
which
fair
I think
enough.
Is fair.
Maybe I'm being a bit
remember
harsh.
When he was like, after the match, where they beat the Belgians, he just turned up absolutely...
Yeah, no, but he was actually quite good that night on COCOMs when they yes. beat Belgium in 2016. To be fair to him, mm. and he came out with a couple of nice lines. All right, look, it's the tournament. Enjoy yourself.
But like, on yeah, BBC absolutely. News, sort of going, if Messi does that, it's sort of retreats yeah. into his own throat. Bless him.
Yeah, indeed. But you know, the going back to the Dutch, you know, a win's a win's a win, as I think it was Brian Clough once said. But the Ukraine, I expect a bit more from them. They'll be disappointed, as I say, sloppy goals, fought their way back into it. And even that third one, the goalkeeper. Yeah. And you saw Zinchenko, who he was Dumfries' man, or other way around, how annoyed he was. Mm. Dumfries, I think, is a bigger guy and so on. But they'll be very disappointed with that.
But, I did enjoy when Yaremchuk scored. Him kissing the camera and the lip print staying on there.
I hope it's not one of those lenses, though. That, you know, cause well, that didn't,
that's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. Maybe it was the rugby player with the permanent
with
marker.
With the permanent marker, yeah. That was like a 20 grand lens, wasn't it? It would be an expensive lens, but I imagine there's a protective film as well.
Yes. Yes. Mind how you go with the lenses.
I just feel tournaments after a little while, those are the moments. You're kind of looking for the moments that are going to be in the recap bit at the end.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, the kissing. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But
yeah.
The tournaments start to get like a personality and a character of their own after a little while. And I think having a game as good as this mm-hmm. early on is a great thing. And hopefully we'll get more.
Absolutely right. Gentlemen, the last game that we haven't talked about was Austria beating North Macedonia 3-1. Goran Pandev getting a goal, becoming the second oldest player ever to score at the Euros. I mean, that was just written in the stars that Pandev was going to score.
Yeah, and it was, you know, tidy finish, I guess. A bit of an opportunist.
It would have been a poor miss had he not.
It would have been, yeah. But it would be nice like for him to sort of, to hear what he's like. He comes to the field and he's like, oh, did the commentators like love my performance? They just talk about how old you were, to be honest with them.
Did you justify your inclusion, Gore? Yeah. I think he did. He is an absolute... He looks like the type of man who you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley.
No.
or defend against, perhaps, would be maybe a better or a fairer competitor. On the other side,
Sasa Kalajic, he frightens me. Yeah. He's just so long. He's 6'7".
There's a lot of it about.
Veghorst
as well. And like obviously Kiefer so Log. Juba, there's a lot of absolute monsters in this tournament. It makes you worry for the future of European basketball because they're all playing football now.
That is true. That is very, very true. Goran Pandev, to tap into this sort of thing about how old he is, even though he's younger than all of us, Richard Jolly pointed out on Twitter that he's played an international against David Seaman, who's now 58 years old.
Wow. I like
so that's
that a, lot.
A lovely one. But great win for Austria, though. First ever European Championship win. I mean, it's funny, actually, because, you know, we've seen Austria play in tournaments and whatnot, but they really don't have a good record in sort of recent years. I mean, they've reached semi-final back in the 30s, something like that. But, you know, it's been a while, and they don't win a lot of games at major tournaments. So they were the sort of the hipster's choice in 2016. I may have fell for that as well. I can't quite remember.
Probably all did.
Yeah, maybe. But they've got a win, and it's a big win. And when you see a stat like that, you think to yourself, well, but they were playing North Macedonia in their first tournament. Should be. Well, actually, no, these boys haven't won a European Championship game in their history. So actually it is a huge win, and what a way to start your scoring off with a delightful passing
brilliant.
Volley.
It was great, wasn't it? Yeah, it was actually a pretty good game. Again, as we touched on, it was quite open. And the ball from Alaba for Austria's second.
Yeah, that was a nice
that
one.
Was an absolute peach. Like you can see that he's just a cut above.
Indeed, yeah. Marko Arnautović scored the third, and it was sort of Tomori Ketspire-esque beat of the celebration.
Yeah, he was shouting some stuff, which may or may not be problematic. We'll find out in the future, no doubt.
Yeah, indeed.
But I just like his Alaba trying to shut his mouth because he was using certain spicy language. Yeah.
If you missed it, trying to physically shut his mouth.
It was interesting that Franco Foda, the Austria manager, said with Marco in preparation, he was injured, didn't train that much, and that's why I decided to bring him on later. This week he trained with us more, but I don't know if we want to start him or play him for 60, 70 minutes. The players see it in a different way. Does he mean Marco Arnautovic sees it in a different way, perhaps? He seemed to sort of, as I say, there was a lot going on in that celebration, and we'll leave that alone, but he certainly seemed sort of annoyed and fired up, which is usually a deadly combination, but a great win for Austria nonetheless. So there we are. Today, Scotland face the Czech Republic. That may be underway by the time you're listening to this, depending on when you've clicked play. Poland versus Slovakia and Spain versus Sweden. So another round, three games in a day. Don't miss any of them. This happens so rarely.
Yes. You sort of go, oh, it's too much football. And then you're like, I can't think we're kind of used to having a lot of football every day because the pandemic and the squeezed Premier League season. But I think with this, you're like, when it goes to two, and then when it goes to zero, in between the rounds, you're like, oh, I don't like this.
We're losing this tournament. I know what you mean. Before we go, a big announcement. Thanks to our friends at Toshiba, we'll be giving away a 65-inch television every Friday throughout
huge.
The Euros over on our Patreon. You need to be a UK resident and signed up to our Patreon to enter. So head over to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved. We'll be doing a giveaway every Friday, and signing up for a higher tier on the Patreon increases your chances of winning. Lovely stuff. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Vish and Pete.
Vish is back from Scotland.
He is.
Ooh.
How about that? He flew up, didn't he? He's up there right now.
He flew up during the
England game. But he's up there covering Scotland versus Czech Republic. But it will be a pleasure to have him back on the pod. All right, everybody. Thanks very much for listening. England are off to a flyer. Damn it all. It was a flyer. Yes, a 1-0 flyer. Excellent job. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
How are we going to come second with this?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.